Well, welcome to today's podcast, the fourth in the series titled, Is Worth Considering. There are many ideas that will come your way. This short podcast is to help you to pause and consider the words of Christ. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We're going to be looking at some of the hot topics that concern us and affecting today's society. Last episode's big idea was The Jesus Revolution, a movie that describes, well, one of the greatest spiritual awakenings in our country. I hope you enjoy. Turn on, tune in, but don't drop out as we continue this discussion. In this episode, the big idea we'll explore is, well, the movie The Chosen. The question we'll look at is, does God make the best of us supporting actors and the rest of us just extras? Well, it's his story, but let's take a look. So, hey, how'd you like the movie? You only watched one season of The Chosen.
Oh, yes. I loved it. That was fantastic.
That's why you only watched one season?
Well, I started watching the second season, and I felt like it wasn't done as well. And I thought, I don't want to ruin this. And so I quit watching it, because then I thought, uh-oh, you know how sometimes other seasons come on of something and it's not what it was. So I thought that first season was fantastic. And I started watching the second season thinking, this is not near the quality as what it was last year. And I don't want to ruin it. So I quit. But I understand I do need to jump back in there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that too, it's like how beautiful and powerful in that hideous, dark, trashy, satanic atmosphere of Hollywood.
Yeah.
That God is bringing out things like The Chosen or The Jesus Revolution or The Passion of Christ.
Yeah, that first, so season one, episode one, was really slow and moving. And it wasn't until, you know, Jesus goes into the bar and there he goes and touches Mary, right?
Right.
And you just feel the electricity of that moment. And then she just isn't able to handle it, so she leaves. And then Jesus follows.
Right.
Oh, my.
That was powerful.
You know, yeah. That Jesus follows. Mm. He goes after her.
Mm.
And then he calls her by name.
Yeah.
Not Lilia, but Mary.
Yeah.
Mary from Magdalene.
Yeah.
You know? And there was that electrifying moment where he knows me. Mm. And he says, I have always known you.
Yeah.
And you have suffered much. Mm. You know, and there wasn't any, it's kind of like the road to Damascus with Paul. There isn't any moment of admission and confession of sin. There's no sinner's prayer.
Right.
But there is a sinner who has become an answer to prayer, who all of a sudden realizes the God who's called him, her in this case.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't have to put things in our little bottles and have everything categorized in just exactly the way it is. I mean, like Bill Bright's book about the four spiritual laws, I think it was.
Yeah, yes.
Well, I mean, that's fantastic. And God used it in thousands of conversions, I'm sure. And that's wonderful. But yeah, like you're saying, I mean, that doesn't mean then that because this is something somebody used, came up with, and the Holy Spirit used it, then now this is how God does it.
You know? Right.
But like you're saying, okay, maybe she didn't like say the four spiritual laws or go through that and say exactly the sinner's prayer as it's written down by Dr. Criswell or whatever. But yeah, like you're saying, she was convicted and clearly turned to God and accepted his grace and love. And
yeah. Is there any moment in the first season that you really, that just stands out to you as being very powerful?
Well, that, the scene that you mentioned, I know I watched that one. Wasn't that in the first season?
Yeah, that was the first episode of season one.
Yeah, that certainly stood out. I guess I'll just leave it at that. It has been several years since I watched it, but I know I loved it. And I definitely plan on going back and jumping in there and finishing up, watching all of them.
I mean, the head guy, right? The Jesus, he's Catholic.
I think he is.
He is.
Now, he's the same guy who did Jesus Revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a strong Catholic.
The other thing I heard too, Chuck Smith, the guy who played Chuck Smith in the movie Jesus Revolution, he was praying just that week, God, my life, my career, it's about over. Could you use me in some way? because I want to be used in some way that's, you know, more direct, more overt in Hollywood. And then somebody calls them up and says, like, I think it was the next day. So that was really beautiful, too. I don't know. I forget that actor's name.
Yeah, the testimonies, the stories behind the stories, right?
Yeah.
You could see God involved in this and the impact that this is having. That's what kind of gives me hope for what God's doing now. He's using the arts. He's using to reach people in a very personal and emotional way.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just a powerful piece. That's what draws us to somebody. That's the magnetism, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you enter into a relationship with somebody, it's the magnetism that you have with that person. And then you come to know them later on.
Yeah, precious. And at the same time, to realize that, what am I responsible for? I mean, because I'm just...
There's your proverbial butt.
Yeah. Well,
no, because, that's your proverbial butt. You have to put it in there.
Well, because we look at people that God is presently using mightily, who are so talented and gifted. And the proverbial butt here is, okay, so what am I, you know? Because like, oh, we mentioned earlier, like, okay, I teach in a community college as an adjunct, typically as a facilitator, guide on the side, not the sage on the stage. I'm not a scholar. I'm not in a prestigious school. I never will be, you know? I haven't written a book. I'm not an actor. I mean, I said I love those, you know, Larry Norman and Chuck Jarrett and all them back from the Jesus Revolution time of the early 70s. And so, you know, kids in school told me I was going to be the rock and roll preacher because I played guitar.
Well, then you also stood on. Out. You also stood on top of the of the kitchen of,
commons,
of the
in the commons on the table
on preaching. The table and preaching. So that might have been a good indication that.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. They figured that's probably what it was going to be. Well, anyway, it didn't. No, I play guitar. I enjoy it. I've played for weddings. You know, I taught for 7 years. But no, I'm no Phil Kagi. Never will.
You don't sing anymore, though, do you?
Jesus is a rock and he rolled my blues away.
Okay.
Yes, well, I do, actually. But if you want to book me, I can make that happen.
That's okay. Oh, my.
A little piece of Larry Norman there. Better, that probably went into clipping, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's...
So, the point is, though, that a lot of us could feel like, oh, okay, so who am I? Because, no, I'm not any of those things. No, life didn't turn out that way for me in any of those kind of ways. Ah, but what does it matter? What matters is, do I love the Lord? And do I love people? Am I obedient? You know? And so, and that's all then that's going to matter. And then maybe when I get to heaven someday, somebody will say, you know, you did this, or you did that, or you said this, or you wrote that, or whatever. And it's like, I knew that. No, I was no great writer. I was no great anything. But yet, if I'm faithful doing what the Holy Spirit leads me to do, that's all I'm accountable for, and praise God for that.
Yeah.
And because there are some people, too, you know what? All they can do is pray. They're in a hospital bed. They can't talk. They can't write. And maybe they're going to be debilitated for a long time. I mean, saying this, yes, I do believe in divine healing, but I mean, God's will be done. I do believe that, you know, there are people like this, and it's, you know, up to God why and whatever. But anyway, they're not going to amount to anything by this world's standards. They're not going to be a great actor for Christ. They're not going to be a rock and roll preacher.
So does God just make us...
They're not going to be an author. And they're not a mistake.
Supporting actors? Or what you're saying is that God just makes most people supporting actors?
Yes. And that's just fine. That's great. I mean, if we are known by God and we glorify Him and we're obedient...
That's a tough one. I don't know if I can handle that one. I don't know if I can...
Well, I know you think you're a rock and roll preacher, but let me tell you, my brother, you ain't no rock and roll preacher, okay?
But I think it's, you know, does God call us to live on the other side of the wilderness? For a season, I think so. But then he calls us out of the wilderness to serve Him in a dynamic way.
Well, I agree, and it is dynamic in the sense that it's obedient and that it's the will of the Holy Spirit, but it could be in a way that, you know, some people, they never will have the mental acumen to be more than an elevator operator.
So when we look at the parable all right, of the sower, okay? Mm-hmm. And some of it flourishes, right? And then the sun comes out. And then there's some that it actually, you know, is good soil and it reproduces itself. So are we talking about fruit of the Spirit, or are we talking about creating fruit, souls for Christ? Are we talking about making a difference for the kingdom?
Yeah, and it is. So even like this person, let's say, who's in the hospital bed maybe for years, let's say.
Give me an example from Scripture.
Well,
where you have...
I'm Catholic.
Well, so you don't read Scripture?
I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, the reality is that the Scriptures, of course, and you can argue and say, well, they're not going to write about somebody's everyday Monday morning going to work.
Yeah.
All right? And so it's written about those events which stand out, are dynamic. And so that's the only thing it records.
Okay, well, let me come up with one then.
All right.
So let's say, now you're going to have to help me out here. You know, King David was going to... He and his men needed help in their travels, but there's this gluttonous drunkard guy who says, no, I'm not going to help you and be on your way.
Right.
And instead, you know, the next day his wife comes out and says, no. Okay, now, this is pathetic. I forget her name.
I forget too, but yes, cool. I understand.
So she comes out and... I'm so sorry, my husband, basically, he's a drunken...
And Dave was going to kill him.
Yeah, and they were getting ready to get wiped out.
And she steps in.
Yeah.
And
so that would be a good example. There's, at that point, stop the scene. Okay, who are you? Oh, you're this wife of this drunken slob. Oh, that's great. This is what you've made of yourself, you know? And you're a nobody, you know? Okay, great. So you have a house and you work. That's fine. You, whatever, you ain't no movie star, you know?
She, right.
And so, but here she just is obedient, and it's just this very simple little act. Well, you know what? I tell you what I can do. I'm being moved of God right here, right now. You know what? Let's get some dates together and some meat together and whatever, some bread. Go ahead, bring it out there to this guy, David, whoever he is, you know? And so that was just a very simple, humble act, but whoa. And then, you know, her husband dies and David marries her, and then she becomes royal line. So we don't know what simple acts we might do in our workaday worlds where we're kind of feeling like we're a nobody. You know, but I mean, being obedient.
But she finds out she's a somebody, doesn't she?
Yes. Okay. And maybe for a lot of us, we're not going to find
that out
until heaven.
Oh, see, there's my point. Is that where do we get that story? I get the opposite story. I get the story that Scripture only tells us about the dynamics because that's what God expects.
Okay, well, let me give you this one.
Is to do the dynamics.
Let me give you this one, the thief on the cross, the good one. So the good thief, so he's lived this horrible life. He is justly being punished. And then the very last minute here, he turns to Christ and Jesus says, you'll be with me this day in paradise.
Oh, you mean the one that's well known? The one who gives a theological
now he wouldn't
the
have
viewpoint
known
that you are saved because you call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we know that, but he didn't at the time.
He knew,
right?
He was going to paradise, right?
Yeah, that's what he knew. So okay, good. You saved yourself by the skin of your teeth. So I don't mean you saved yourself.
Pretty dynamic.
You
pretty
this last
dynamic.
Minute. Yes, but not in the sense like he went on to live his life and became a rock star and. You know,
I'm not talking about human success. I'm not talking
right.
about human success, but
right.
I am talking about dynamic significance for the
yes.
kingdom.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm
it
talking
was.
About.
It was, yeah.
Because I don't see anywhere in Scripture that you get characters who simply live a life that is, well, how do you say it? Neither hot nor cold.
Right.
Okay,
it is, yeah.
Because what happens? I spit you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So God doesn't want us to live.
No.
You know, mediocre lives.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm only talking about from a worldly perspective.
Right.
But from God's perspective, which is the only one that matters, yeah, you're hot and you're being used by the Holy Spirit. And, you know.
So here's a question.
That's what
if
matters.
If your life isn't significant, you don't find it as being significant, Lord.
Yeah, then your perspective is wrong.
Isn't. Oh, it's wrong?
I mean, I think
it's honest.
If you're taking an if you're judging your self-worth by a worldly standard.
Oh, right. I'm not living
then you're wrong. But if you're judging it by the kingdom of God,
yes. Wow. What's my life? What's
your life is dynamic and significant. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I would pray, Lord, I need significance. God created us to be significant.
Absolutely.
Without it, that's why people roll into depression.
Oh yeah.
They have no sense of significance. God has created us. I love the verse that not only he created, he made us.
Yeah.
Because you don't make anything without a purpose.
Right.
But exactly. But everything you make has a purpose. And God not only is my creator, he is the one who has made me.
Yeah. Yeah. And knit me together in the womb, fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
And that's each one of us. It's Satan's lie to have you view yourself according to worldly standards,
right,
which is a bunch of crap and means nothing. Well, you're going to trade places with Elvis? You're going to trade places with any of these people who had unbelievable fame and gifts? I wouldn't trade places with them.
No.
But if you go by God's standard, like you're saying, don't waste that. Don't be mediocre there. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and be obedient. And then forget the stupid worldly standards. Yeah, you're engaged in, a powerful battle on earth with souls on the line. And
you should be.
You should be. And if you're not, what a waste.
And there's the point I'm coming back to. Are we? It's easy to talk this way.
Yeah.
It's easy to say academically, this was what we should be doing.
Right.
But are we doing it?
Right.
And if we're not, why?
Yeah.
Does it come back to the fact that we don't realize how much we've been forgiven?
Yeah.
Here's an interesting story, and I've shared this on my podcast, The Morning Devotions. I went out to Chicago this last weekend, and we parked on the street like we normally do. Came out the next morning to go take the kids to the park, and I noticed that on the side where I parked, there were some cars, and they had tickets on it. And I look, and they see my car, and I have a ticket. I'm like, oh, no. Okay, what's this ticket about? All right. $60. I open the ticket, $200.
Ouch.
$200 ticket. And I'm going, what? What did I do? And I'm looking at the signs. There's no parking here. And then I read that it was an expired sticker.
Huh.
And I look in the window, and sure enough, it expired in January.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, hold it. I think Wayne gave me a sticker I was supposed to put on the window.
Oh, wow.
So I got in the car. I looked in the. I pulled out of the glove compartment the sticker, and it says, "Yep, here it is. It's all the way till 2025. It was good," and I'm thinking, "Oh my! I violated the law, and the penalty is severe. $200.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, here it says expired or fail to display.
All right.
I'm sunk. I'm guilty. I deserve that ticket. It was at that point I realized if I saw somebody pull up and park behind me and I noticed that they didn't have a sticker or their sticker was expired, I would have told them, dude, I just got a $200 ticket.
Yeah.
You need to move your car. Yeah. It's up to him to do it. He goes, that's okay. I'll take $200, man. I just got it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Those who are forgiven much, love much. And when you love much, you tell somebody. That $200 ticket was a reminder to me that, man, if that's what I'm guilty of, I want to tell my neighbor, don't get this ticket.
That's a great analogy.
You know, it hit home so clear to me. But we need those moments to realize, David, you're a good guy. You don't speed that much. Well, kind of much, right? I'm okay. Pretty decent.
Sure.
But I was guilty of the law, and that's the price. And it wasn't a $60 ticket. It was a $200 ticket.
Yeah.
Can I afford $200? No, I can't. I definitely don't want to pay it.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example. And the same sort of thing, like Satan has traps for everybody that lots of people are falling into. So like a big one example is be porn, you know? Like, well, come on. I mean, I read my Bible. Yeah, I go to church every Sunday and like, yeah, I deserve this, you know. Just a little time out, just a little fun. And like, wow, what a trap. And that's worse than a $200 ticket.
And you don't realize the damage to it.
Yeah.
Here's a question I brought to my students the other day. I said, Jesus, we're watching The Chosen. It was season 3. I know you haven't gotten there, but it's an interesting piece where he sends his disciples out.
I just read my Bible. I normally get my theology from my Bible. But anyway, yeah, it's a good movie.
That's good. You should try doing the moral. All right. So he sends his disciples out, right? And now you made me forget where we're going. He sends his disciples out. Okay. And they're going out and they're healing people, people who are blind, the lame. They're casting out demons, exactly what he told them he gave them authority to do. So they show this for about 5-10 minutes, and it's pretty impressive. And as you're seeing how fearful they are when they first begin, and yet these things are happening to them. Okay. And my comment was, you know, Jesus says that he has come for the sick. Okay, that's what a physician's for. Mm. So did Jesus come for these people were all sick?
Yep.
Did he come for you?
Yeah. Because,
did he come for me?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not sick. I'm not unhealthy. I have eyes. I can see. Mm. I don't have a disease. So did Jesus come for me? Mm. I can say academically, oh, I'm sick. I'm a sinner and I need. I believe it?
Mm.
Because if I don't, then why is he going to come to me?
Exactly.
So how do I recognize my sickness? I don't until I have symptoms.
Mm.
Until I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me, guess what, dude? You got cancer.
Mm.
I feel okay. I'm no, but you have cancer. Your blood tests are showing it. The reality hits, okay?
Right.
The reality hits that Jesus, we need him when his spirit shows us that we are sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to have that active engagement. If we're not sick today, we will be sick tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it's entropy. Things go from a higher state of order to a lower state of order on their own.
Yeah. I mean,
so our bodies are dying. We're all headed to death.
So are we going to wait till the doctor tells us?
Hopefully not.
No. I mean, we have, and that's where the beauty of the scriptures of living the Christian life is, right? Because if you live according to the wisdom that God gives, you can have preventive medicine.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But these bodies are worn away.
Mm-hmm.
We're eventually all going to get sick.
Yeah.
All right? And when we are sick, we go to a physician.
Mm.
And eventually God's going to show us that we need him.
Yeah.
So let's ask him ahead of time, what do I need to do?
Yeah, because it might be, though, you won't even be given that opportunity. I mean, it could very well be, well, a couple of years ago, I was driving down M37, Broadmoor, and just minding my own business, perfectly legal about everything, and some young guy decides that he was going to blow through all four lanes of traffic because he thought he saw an opening, and piled into my Toyota Corolla, and all six airbags went off, totaled the car. If I was like a second ahead, he would hit my door, and I would be in real bad shape or probably killed. And, you know, that can happen to any one of us. And then there's no time for praying.
But guess what?
Feeling bad or turning to God. Boom, you're dead.
Yeah, but that experience, right?
Yeah.
Sure stuck with your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need God to give us the experiences so that we are aware of our sin.
Yeah. Or even vicariously to look at the experiences of others. And to just realize the situation that all of us as humans are in.
Yes. So you could
get a brain aneurysm.
I'm glad I'm not like that guy.
Well, I mean, from the example of others.
Oh, okay.
Learning like you read in the newspaper, like, wow, so so-and-so just dropped dead of a brain aneurysm right out of the blue. You know, or these young people on the sports field that we're reading about, you know, playing soccer, super great shape, early 20s. Massive heart attack, boom, they're dead.
Here's
all kinds of this sort of thing.
I'm going to bring
this
back. I'm going to bring this back to the point I've been trying to make all the way along. Maybe not so good at it. David talks about, you know, here's my enemies. God, rescue me from my enemies. Destroy my enemies. Da 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 da. And it just goes on in that psalm. And then he concludes his psalm and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. If there's any wicked way, lead me in the way of everlasting." Well, David, just read what you just wrote. Okay? Seriously. Is there any wicked way? Yeah, you're asking God to bring vengeance upon your enemies and that you hate them and so on and so forth. Is there a wicked way? Yep, there sure is, David. You just wrote all about it. And so God puts in there, okay, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Right.
Try me and test my ways. And if there's any wicked way, lead me in the way of everlasting. When we don't realize that we need a physician,
yeah,
is when we need to ask God, search me, God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be the physician and show me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And help me.
Yeah.
And lead me in the way of everlasting. And I will be thankful and love you much.
Yeah.
And serve you much. If we are stagnant, if we are lukewarm, we have to be alarmed by that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the piece that when I talk to my youth who are raised in the church, you know, I look at them and I say, you know, you're not doing anything. Mm. You've invited a few friends and now your friends are inviting friends. And wow. All of a sudden we got half the kids who are coming because friends of yours are inviting their friends.
Wow.
And they're evangelizing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's just that, but I would be concerned for the youth who are raised in the church.
Yeah. Well, we can get the sense of familiarity. Like, yeah, right, yep. Jesus is Lord, uh-huh, yep. And to kind of, or that Jesus is just all right with me attitude, you know. Yep, cool, got it. And just, you know, you can see it in the way so many people at church sometimes treat the service, you know. I mean, if you're just coming in there and basically you're sitting down and you're talking about the football game the night before and you're just yucking it up all the time. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that sometimes, but I mean, when it's apparent that your whole attitude in the church service, you know, or before or after, it's like, it's just yucking it up, la-di-da-di, and that seems to be your whole demeanor. And if that's your heart and approach to God.
Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the fourth in the series, It's Worth Considering. We hope you tune in, but don't drop out as we continue our discussion about, well, The Chosen. Let me leave with you the big question. Are you a supporting actor in his story, or are you just an extra? Well, I hope you give it some thought because it's worth considering. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless. Have a great day.